This is the Poetry Magazine podcast. I'm Don Cher, editor of Poetry Magazine.
I'm Christina Pugh, consulting editor.
And I'm Lindsay Garbutt, managing editor. This week, we spoke with Dorothy Chan about a poem in her forthcoming book, Chinese Girl Strikes Back.
I like to think that I specialize in the form of the triple sonnet. The sonnet is the amuse-bouche, or like the appetizer of poetry, because it's just that kind of like gift that just keeps giving and giving and giving, just something that whets the reader's appetite.
Chan says she's obsessed with sonnets, that the form is perfect.
First of all, 14 lines is very romantic, you know, just like Valentine's Day, so I guess I'll start there. But I also think that it's perfect because it's bite-sized. And most of my work deals with the topics of food and sex, and like food and sex, they make the world go round and round, right?
Chan's forthcoming book, out from Spork Press in 2020, is arranged like a menu.
You know, like when you go to a restaurant and you look at the menu, there's entrees and there's like appetizers and desserts and cocktails. And so I basically arranged the table of contents and the structure of my book based on a menu. So I have a whole section of poems that are titled The Recipes. And then I have a whole section of poems titled The Triple Sonnets.
Here's Dorothy Chan reading Triple Sonnet for Black Hair.
My mother warns me not to blow dry my hair too hard, turning it from black to rust, and I must wear my black hair proudly. Black, the color of clothing my grandmother hates, because young women should always wear red or pink, the colors of luck and youth. Black, the color of wedding dress the reality TV starlet circa 2006 wants, but she knows walking down the aisle in black will break her mother's heart. In fact, red is the color of wedding dresses in Chinese culture. Even if the bride wears white for the ceremony, she'll change into red for the dinner. Hello, 10-course meal of my dreams that starts with a meat platter of roasted pork, and how guests go crazy for the abalone and swallow's nest soup with crab meat. Of course, there's a chicken, a pig, a fish, a duck, and a lobster roll call. In fact, at Chinese funerals, relatives of the deceased don't wear black, but white. In fact, 8's the lucky Chinese number, not 7. And at dim sum, my grandmother makes sure she orders 8 dishes, not 7, but 9's all right, too. 8, like the number of legs on a spider, black, like my hair, that my mother warns me not to blow dry too hard, turning it into rust. And I remember my 6th grade science experiment of lighting a cigarette, watching how the smoke changed the spider's web spinning. And black, because it's hypnotic, like little black dresses on gorgeous women, or how I prefer my lingerie in black over white, but red is probably the best, an ode to sexiness, an ode to the color of my culture and history, and I want to feel like $1 million, be $1 million, and black, the color of my late dog Buzzy, a Skye Terrier, twice as long as he was low. My mother once joking said he looked like a giant rat, or a licorice bunny, or a furry snake, or a dragon in some iterations of love, majestic in dreams. How I miss him after these dream visits, black, the color of my wet hair in the morning.
What's really striking about this triple sonnet is that ordinarily the sonnet form, as many forms can be, serves to kind of impose constraints on words, on syllables. You know, a form can lock down the way words are organized, and that's part of the pleasure of it. And here, the form permits a kind of rush of words and syllables. So instead of being constrained, what the poem says can be very lush and find actually a kind of a natural conversational rhythm, which is a pretty extraordinary thing to do. I think it's a very tricky thing to do, but the impetus of the poem nicely surfs along the surface of the form itself, which is really pleasurable, I think, especially when you hear the poet read it like that. It's really fun. When you read it on the page, it's quite a serious poem. It's not just an effusion or something merely conversational.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing when I was listening and reading the poem, about how we sort of think of sonnets as a box, as something that contains something else. And when these three sonnets are here, I kind of expected three separate boxes, but instead they flow one into the other and sort of overlap in the way that these three generations are also described as overlapping in the poem, as well as, you know, the three different colors, red, white, and black. And these three separate sections that flow into each other flow like the movement of the memories in the poem and the movement of the customs described. But what I liked is that it still played sort of on the turn in a sonnet. I felt like the last two lines of each stanza swerved in a way that kept flowing into the next one. So for the first one, it's this turn to the 10-course meal. And then in the second stanza, it becomes this turn into a science experiment where the spider has all of a sudden changed from something active that reminds her of her hair to something that sort of reminds her of death, or like the how the cigarette smoke can kind of turn everything black. And I liked how this turning still happened in the poem, but in a new way, thanks to this triple sonnet form.
And yeah. And the ending sort of takes up where the poem begins too, mm-hmm. with the, you know, what you do with your hair mm-hmm. in the morning to get ready for a life that contains all these wonderful things in their palpable textures. Mm.
And whenever you see a group of sonnets together like this, you start to recall that something like a crown of sonnets in which a line migrates from the end of the last sonnet to the beginning of the next one. This doesn't do that, but there is that return of the hair and the blow drying of the hair, taking care with that so it doesn't turn from black to rust. That's what the mother tells the daughter speaker in the poem. And I love what you were saying, Lindsay, too, about the turning and how that's happening. And it's almost as if once we get into the listing of the menu and then the metaphors around the cigarette smoke and all of that with the little black dresses and the spider, is just like it turns metaphorically, proliferating again and again and again, but constrained by these 14 lines. And for me personally, I'm just thrilled to see the sonnet's longevity, particularly in our present day, thinking about, for example, Terence Hayes's recent sonnets and really any number of poets you could mention. You know, thinking back, William Carlos Williams kind of famously said, "The sonnet does not change." And I've always felt that was wrong, and I think this triple sonnet really shows how wrong that is. It's like it's a form that can be adaptable, and it always has been.
Well, a little of Williams' spirit lives on in the sense that the rhythms are connected to the breath, and that mm-hmm. that's a distinctly American texture, and part of what makes the poem so wonderful and profuse and moving is, as you could hear in the poet's reading of it aloud, is this American diction in a poem that has as its subject matter things relating to Chinese culture and immigrant culture and connecting generations that have completely different experiences of the world. To me, that's a really nice fulfillment of Williams' feeling that, you know, our poetry should be American. And you know, there are poets. Basil Bunting was another who felt like things like sonnets were impositions from other, you know, from other kinds of cultures. And here it's seamlessly, wonderfully American, but it isn't just American. It has this deep, loving fidelity to, you know, to a family and a culture whose roots are elsewhere, but also here.
That's so true, that this is, you know, expanding a notion of Americanness that even Williams was talking about. But this idea that you can't do this within a sonnet, it seems to me Williams was wrong about. Yeah. So wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he was right about a lot of stuff, but I think he was wrong about that.
Well, and what I love about this poem, too, and you were talking about this dawn in the loving fidelity that you mentioned, this is really a love poem, but not what we would typically consider a love poem to be. Because it's a triple sonnet, it sort of allows it to be even larger in its scope of love than a typical sonnet might be. So there's the obvious love of the mother for her daughter and asking her to protect her hair. And there's also the palpable love of the granddaughter for the grandmother and the way that she orders food. And then the poem ends with this loving idea of the dog, too, which I just felt so touched by, because she ends up sort of transforming this small dog that's twice as long as he was low, as the mother says, into a dragon as an iteration of love, majestic in dreams, how I miss him after these dream visits, black, the color of my wet hair in the morning. Yeah. It's just such a beautiful ending. And
well, the family is like so woven together, mm-hmm. and the poem just brings that to life so vividly. It's almost like being in somebody's house as a guest to read this poem. Dorothy Chan is the author of Revenge of the Asian Woman and Attack of the 50-Foot Centerfold.
You can read Triple Sonnet for Black Hair in the November 2019 issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org.
We'll have another episode for you next week, or you can get all November episodes all at once in the full-length podcast on SoundCloud.
Let us know what you thought of this program. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, or if you listen another way, email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Are you thinking of buying someone a book for the holidays? Have you considered giving them one book every month for an entire year? We've got you covered. For a limited time, buy one subscription to Poetry Magazine and gift one free. That's two subscriptions for the price of one. Give the gift of poetry today. Go to poetrymagazine.org/podcastholiday. That's poetrymagazine.org/podcastholiday.
The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman and produced by Rachel James.
The theme music comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Lindsay Garbutt.
I'm Christina Pugh.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.